Hello there, and welcome to the Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Today, the two of us will be getting into some high school basketball action, Greenwood High continuing to pick it up, some 96, and even a little bit of Emerald Vikings as they played the Wildcats this past week in both varsity and JV, and a little bit of Edgewood Middle School as well. They've had quite a great start to the season, and so we cannot wait to talk about those. We'll also be getting into some a little bit of college basketball with some net updates, and we'll talk a little bit about Michigan and some NFL. The mostly NFL we'll be talking about is the Colts, as they had some headlines broken this past week. A little bit of NBA with some history being made there, and some college football as the college football playoff is set and the Heisman was announced last night, so that'll be fun to talk about. And we're going to start with a little bit of the World Cup for soccer. So let me pull that up real quick. As the USA pulled a pretty solid group, they pulled a group of Paraguay and Australia. And I think the winner of Group C or somehow gets into, I don't know how it works. In soccer, no whatsoever. Yeah, neither of us know anything about it, but we are both. I know one player on the team. That's about all I got.
It's one more than me.
His first name is Christian. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's all I know. But yeah, so not sure when that one will start, when the World Cup starts, but it's in the three host countries are Canada, Mexico, and I believe the United States. So that'll be fun. But yeah, so that's all I have for the World Cup. Now let's jump into some high school basketball as the middle school team's off to an electric start, winning the Thanksgiving Classic a while back at Ware Shoals, then beating Northside in a blowout, and then they blew out McCormick. They beat Jet at the buzzer with a Cam Mathis game-winning three-pointer. Cam Mathis, I mean, I love watching that kid play basketball. I think he is... There are times out there on the floor, especially against Northside, where I thought he looked like a sophomore in high school at times. Like, his just court vision and knowledge and ability to score from almost anywhere is very good to me. Have you been to a middle school game yet this season?
I've just seen the videos of them online.
Okay. And then they beat and they smoked Saluda as well, a team that has kind of had our number in all of sports recently, but this season we've been able to beat them in basketball and football, and we've started out 1-0 with them in basketball. So you love to see that.
Yeah, that buzzer beater at Jet was just phenomenal for the middle school team. Excellent play call, excellent play execution, and they found the defense asleep, and just a wide open look, great shot, and all of the reaction. Yeah. GIFs that have existed online, specifically of Coach McDonald, are my favorite. I think my favorite thing of the season so far, watching Josh jump up in the air and check the clock at the same exact time because he knew better than to celebrate before the clock had expired. So, yeah, big congrats to that team.
Yeah.
Really well coached, really well executing of the things that the coach wants you to do. It's really fun team to watch.
And it was a surprising play call because I believe they had the five on the... I know at least three of the five on the floor was Aiden Lewis inbounding, Dawson McDonald on the low post, and then Cam was on the opposite elbow as Dawson. So it was like inbounder on the... If you're facing the hoop, the right side of the hoop, and then Dawson standing across from the inbounder on the block, Cam on the opposite elbow, and then I think Steven Jones is his name, number 23 was in the game, and maybe Easton Birch. But in my what I would have done in that spot was I would have had a screen set by either Steven or Easton, but he sent Dawson, who is like 5'4", to go in there, set a screen on a big fella to get Cam Mathis an open look from three.
It was great.
And to win the game, I think a two would have tied it, which I think wasn't the original play, as Aiden finds a wide-open Cam Mathis to win that game, and just phenomenal shooting.
Yep, it's a good play.
Yeah, really good play. Varsity boys, They went 1-1 this week with a win over Ware Shoals, absolutely killing them. They got some backups in that game in the fourth quarter, and then beat by Emerald. The score is not as bad as the game actually was, in my opinion. I think it final score is like an 11-point game. But did you watch this entire game, or did you leave it happen?
No, I was in the concession stand that one.
So, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of major things to say about that one. Three main things for me. Perimeter defense has to improve. Both Mid-Carolina and Emerald shot the lights out from the three-point line, especially the first half by Emerald. They didn't shoot as well in the first half because they didn't really have to. They just kind of dribbled the clock out and didn't turn the ball over. Not getting out in transition well enough. I feel like they did this better against Emerald, but just need to do a little bit better. And then free throws. Don't know the exact stats for the free throws. I know Aiden Harrison had missed a pair of free throws, and Carver Davis, this has been a liability of his since eighth grade, is his free throw shooting, missing maybe 20 free throws. It was really bad.
Yeah, I saw him miss a few just walking by. So, yep, you got to make the free ones.
Second half, you've got to make those. And that's really the difference in this game. Obviously, I love Carver. There's not many people at 96 who don't love Carver Davis, obviously, as he's a four-sport athlete, going to go to college in one of the four. So you love the kid, love his energy, but just have to see that improve throughout the season. And we'll talk about some JV basketball as the JV Wildcats played McCormick in a dominant win, 61-35. Theo Meredith, I've heard of him, had 10 points. Noah McDonald had 15. So kind of a little bit of kind of like what you love to see, obviously. Was this the first game at full strength since the trip?
I think so.
Yeah, so they had a trip to Pigeon Forge, and two of the five starters were on that trip. So when they played Mid-Carolina, at Mid-Carolina, they were down Jacob Swink and Madden Davis, which are two very high-caliber guys on your team. This time they had all five starters, plus their two backups in Carter Evans and Trenton Singleton. And they played at full strength, and they showed out how good they can truly be with a 61-35 win over McCormick. And then they played the Emerald Vikings at Emerald Vikings. That was not as good of a game in the win column, but it was still a quality game.
Yeah, I was at that one, and credit to Emerald on that trap in the second quarter, because we just could not come up with a way to get past that trap, and it worked exactly like you draw it up if you're Emerald. Of course, Emerald had about seven more bodies to throw at 96. I think every substitution was a 5-for-5. They kept throwing fresh legs at us, and the combination of that plus the trap in the second quarter was insurmountable in a lot of ways. But in the third quarter, 96 technically won the third quarter by a large margin. I think they only scored three against us in the third quarter, whereas we scored probably close to 10, if not 15. Yeah. And so big comeback. We're only down three going into the fourth, and just didn't have enough legs to stick with it. But a really heady effort by a lot of the guys. Noah was working hard. He was our only option for breaking that pressure in the third or in the second. And so, yeah, credit to Emerald for sure. But when you got eight more bodies, seven more bodies to throw out on the court, it sure does help. But yeah, really proud of the effort of the guys and the fact that they didn't quit. That one and the Mid-Carolina game, both of them, they could have just quit and been like, well, yeah, we're done. And they didn't. So credit to the coaches, credit to the players for not giving up on that. And keeping their wits about them and fighting hard. It just, you know, that I think that one kid scored like 18 points against us. And so we did not have an answer for him. He was just kept driving the lane, getting fouled, making shots, doing what he needed to do.
Also, one more thing about the varsity game for Emerald was that they were without their... He's either the starter or the sixth man point guard, Malachi. But he is, we played him on JV when he was on JV his freshman and sophomore year. And he is electric. He is very small, probably 5'2", 5'3", but can shoot from just about anywhere and is the quickest guy on any basketball court he's probably ever been on. He's very good, and I'm not sure what was wrong with him. Just noticed he was not dressed out for that game. And, yeah, Greenwood Eagles played Wren to improve to 3-0. Here are some key points to that one. Jay Duncan delivered a masterclass performance, scoring 19 points on 7-for-10 shooting while knocking down 5 of his 3-point attempts. He added 7 assists and 4 steals in one of the most efficient games of his career. London Crawford was a force inside, finishing with 15 points, 7-of-8 shooting while grabbing a team-high 7 rebounds. Kyeem Williams provided a huge spark off the bench, totaling 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Bench scoring proved to be a major difference as Greenwood High's reserves combined for 29 points, highlighted by Amarion Griffin's perfect 3-for-3 night from beyond the arc and a strong showing from Jaden Harris and Zayden Gray. Greenwood's shooting was elite, finishing 51.7% from the field and 48 from three. Goodness gracious.
Wow.
12-for-25 while outscoring Wren 11-2 in fast break points. Defensively, the Eagles frustrated the Hurricanes, supporting cast, and limited Wren to just 26.9 from three on the night. Greenwood looks to stay undefeated and as they travel to Easley, that's already happened. And then now, do you have anything else? Oh, yeah. Varsity Boys played 2 games this week without their point guard, Kobe Quarles. He suffered a concussion in the Mid-Carolina game on Friday of last week, and so he was unable to play on Monday or was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Wednesday of this past week. So praying for him to get better. I think they have 1 or 2 games this week, but at the very least, we hope to get him back by Christmas.
Sounds good.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about the games from this past week?
Nope.
I think it's absolutely crazy that how well Greenwood was able to shoot. College basketball exam break is over for the Tar Heels as they wrap up non-conference and they will play FSU towards the end of December, beginning of January to start conference play. So that'll be a really fun way to start. Yep. As the Tar Heels beat USC Upstate, not surprising. I think this final score was 20-point deficit, 19-18, somewhere in maybe. There. What were your thoughts on that game?
That looks like they kind of sleptwalked through most of the game because they knew they could win. They got lazy on defense. We got lazy on defense. I was very impressed by Upstate's sets that they were running. They were really well played. Obviously they're just not as gifted physically as the Tar Heels, but man, they fought hard and they continued to make really good solid plays. They stayed in the game. They made like a little 8-0 run toward the end that had me, I wouldn't say nervous, they pulled to within 8 with probably 5 minutes left or something like that. The Heels just kind of stepped on their throat at that point and said, no, we're going to go win this thing. Specifically, Caleb Wilson said, I got this, and went after it. And so good to see him get back on the dunk train. I think he had that one game where he didn't get any dunks, which is just not like him. So he continues to lead the NCAA in dunks the last time I looked. I thought it looked like a game where there were no students there because of exams and end of semester stuff, and it looked like a game where the Tar Heels just didn't really get excited about it, which is a little concerning because I want us to play intense basketball every time we touch it. It's USC Upstate. We can beat them without having a complete effort.
A few things I took away from the game was Caleb Wilson's court vision.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those passes, there was one pass early in the second half where he's getting trapped in a double team and just throws it across court to the opposite wing to a wide open Luka who hits the 3-ball.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge momentum moment. And then he had another one where it was like behind or over his head.
Yeah.
To a wide open, I think Basar, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't remember. Or maybe it was Jaden Young. either way. But yeah, and also Jaden Young, that's another one. Mm-hmm. His minutes in the first half came in, were somewhat crucial, and then I believe he got some second half minutes as well
mm-hmm.
that were kind of huge. And we had one guy break out for like 17 points. Was it Stevenson or was it?
I don't know.
But there's one kid who kind of surprised me and had a decent day off of the bench. But yeah, Tar Heels are improving as they play Tuesday against ETSU.
Sounds right.
Eastern Carolina.
I think it's ETSU.
ETSU. So hopefully we can get another big win there. As now, Dad's favorite metric, the net, is back. Do you have anything to say about the net?
Oh, I have an entire rant to say about the net. It's the stupidest way to measure anything in the history of anything because it forces me to cheer for Kentucky because we beat Kentucky. And for some reason, us beating Kentucky in a couple of months won't matter if Kentucky doesn't keep winning.
And that's hilarious.
Who invented this metric? It's watch the basketball games. That's how you tell who's the better basketball team, is you watch the basketball games. It doesn't matter. If you watch the basketball games, you'll know who deserves to be in the top 64 teams or whatever the metric is for getting. The net is stupid. The net is ridiculous.
It forces me to cheer for Kentucky.
It's the most absurd way to measure quality of win ever, because if Kentucky goes on to, or Kansas, or whoever else that we've played that was a big non-conference win, goes on to have a atrocious remainder of the season, it does not change how good they were that night that they played us, and how close the game was, and how tough the crowd was, and how that nothing changes about that game. But the net says that it's no longer quad one or whatever the heck that means. Yeah, the net is, please ask me how I really feel about it, but the net is the dumbest way you could possibly assess who's good at basketball. It's something for people to talk about, something for people to rage bait people like me who actually want to watch the basketball games
and they
to determine.
Succeeded.
Yeah, you win, net. If your goal was to bait me into being absolutely livid, you win, because it's dumb. And I think this one Carolina is good, and I think this one Carolina is not good. Last year, just barely making it into the NCAA tournament, I thought it was dumb that the net was used for or against, because it's just a dumb way to measure who's good at basketball. Get a committee of 10 coaches that aren't currently active and ask them who's the best teams, way better than the net.
Get Roy Williams, get Dean, or not Dean Smith.
Yeah,
Mike Krzyzewski.
If you could get Dean Smith.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
He could just make the list.
Coach K, Kevin Keats, Roy Williams. Get guys, maybe not Kevin, but like good coaches.
Get anybody. Yeah, anybody who's ever coached basketball. Get a 7-year-old fan. They would be better than the net. It's absolutely atrocious that we rely on this metric to create value in the NCAA tournament.
Well, we're gonna talk about this ridiculous metric. The Tar Heels.
Please read it out to me so that I can react.
The Tar Heels fell 5 spots from last time I checked.
Yes, because we played USC Upstate, and they're no good.
Right. Number 20.
Doesn't matter that we beat them
at 9-1. 2-1 in quad one, 1-0 in quad two, 1-0 in quad three. I believe Xavier from, is that who we played Sunday? Whoever we played Sunday.
Xavier.
It was Georgetown, wasn't it?
Georgetown. Yeah.
Sorry, wrong color scheme, whatever. And 5-0 in quad four, but yeah, Georgetown, I think, is that quad three win. We did not have one last time we talked about this. No, but number one is Michigan. Let me talk about Michigan for a second, because I am a Michigan fan right now. They are so good at basketball. Michigan is rolling teams with an average margin of victory of 28. This was mathed out like half a week ago. Not up to date. I think it's probably gone down to more like 28, 25 at this point. But they beat Gonzaga by 40.
Wow.
Who is, what rank are they in the net? They are number three in the net. So it's Michigan, Duke, Gonzaga. Gonzaga is number three. So that should tell you how far of a difference it is between one and two. Or two and three.
All it tells me at the net is that the net is stupid, but go on.
But they beat them by 40.
Yeah.
Iowa State.
So those of us watching the basketball game might not put Gonzaga at number three in the nation.
Yeah, that's very fair.
They lost by 40. Go on.
Iowa State at number four. Arizona at number five. Vanderbilt at number six. They're undefeated. I don't get this at all. I think Vanderbilt and Arizona and Iowa State should all be above Gonzaga because they're undefeated. That's just simple math there. But BYU at seven, they have been phenomenal this season. They're 9-1. UConn at number eight. Purdue at number nine. Dang, that loss to Iowa State really bumped them down. And then Michigan State at 10. Again, if you are unfamiliar with the net, once you play a team, regardless if you lose by 40, regardless if you win by 40, you want the team that you have played to win the rest of their game.
Yeah, dumb.
So we want Kentucky, sadly, we want Kentucky to go undefeated. We want Louisville, who we play later in the season, to have the best season of their lives. We want Duke to have a phenomenal season. I want to throw up after saying that sentence.
Yeah, that's awful.
And yeah, so that's very sad, but it's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. But Louisville is number 11, so we will play number 11. Obviously, I mean, this changes hourly.
That's so, the other great part about it. You don't have to watch the games. Yeah. It's the net. Yeah. Don't watch the games. The net updates hourly. You can just sit by your computer. You can pull it up on your phone. And you can know at any given moment how bad Gonzaga is and how good Louisville is. You can just immediately not imagine. We don't even have to play the games. We've got the net. We know who's good at basketball. The net told us. Go on.
And then, yes. Two SEC teams with SEC team with multiple losses is ahead of North Carolina. That's the net right there for you. Arkansas at 8-2. They have, let's see here what they're, okay, they're two quad one losses, so, you know, you got to put that into account. And then North Carolina at 20. They are 2-1 in the net.
Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not saying that North Carolina needs to be higher in the net or lower in the net.
I'm not saying
that some team doesn't deserve to be in the final 64 teams or 68 teams or 220 teams, however many teams they're picking from this year.
336.
I'm not saying anything about the relative merits of, for example, Gonzaga. Sorry you lost by 40 and caught the butt of my wrath here, but it's, I am objecting to the very existence of the net itself is the problem. So it's not that you should be left out of March Madness at the end of the season. Like, no, absolutely. We should still have a tournament. I'm for it. But we should not use such a busted metric to select for that tournament. And it's absolutely killing these middle of the road teams that now North Carolina doesn't want to play somebody unless they are USC Upstate and we can beat them by 40, or they are Kansas and we can win and we have to win. And that's all net driven. And I would much rather watch some Gardner Webbs and some of these teams that make the tournament year after year that are middle of the, like, they could actually stand a chance to really shock somebody and win.
Yeah.
But there's no winning in that situation for a North Carolina or a Kentucky or a Duke or a UCLA. Like, you can't play those teams because what if you lose? Now your net is crushed.
And it's taking away, they're trying to get rid of Cinderella teams in March Madness. They're trying to get rid of the St. Peters.
Right.
The Furmans.
Mm-hmm.
Presbyterians, like, the stuff like that, where it's like, we want those teams in. We want to see FIU beat Purdue by 15. We want to see UMBC destroy Virginia.
Yep.
We want to see St. Peter's beat Purdue because it was so nice to watch. Like, we want to see those upsets. We don't want to see Duke and Kentucky in the Sweet 16.
Right.
No, we want to see the school of the deaf and blind play Kentucky and win.
Absolutely.
That's what we want. We don't want.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we want. Yes, like, come on, man. We want Spartanburg University to go upset anyone but North Carolina.
That's right.
Like, it's terrible. It's absolutely horrible. That, I think, ends our rant. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, no. Let's do a whole nother segment on the net. Come on. Let's. We were just getting started.
Yeah, just getting started. Kentucky falls out of the top 25, which doesn't matter because they're still quad one. Clemson, there's a P in there. Choked to BYU. Clemson falls to BYU, choking a 22-point lead. There was a player, a BYU player, dunked it on like a fast break, and the rim was no longer level. Like the rim.
Wow.
They brought out a level, and the rim wasn't level. They went behind the backboard, unscrewed the screws into the rim, and fixed it, which was.
I'm putting that on my resume if I'm that player. Uncommonly strong.
Forget breaking backboards. I broke the rim.
That's right.
That's wild. Very rare occurrence. And then the NFL, the Chiefs need the Chargers to lose twice, including to themselves, and the Colts to lose a couple times, which is possible because the Indianapolis Colts have signed a grandpa to their roster to play quarterback. Phillip Rivers, the 44-year-old, signed on Tuesday of this week to become an Indianapolis Colt. So, Dad, you still have a chance.
I still got it.
Yep.
I'm going to go out for the team.
Yes, sir. Daniel Jones had a season-ending injury with an Achilles. Very unfortunate due to him having a career year. Anthony Richardson also out with a orbital fracture to his face due to a freak accident where he was using a stretch band pregame and it smacked him in the face. So that leads the only active, healthy quarterbacks for the Colts is Riley Leonard and Phillip Rivers. They love their ACC quarterback there in over there in Indianapolis, with Phillip Rivers being NC State standout and Duke, former Duke player Riley Leonard. He's one of my favorite Duke players of all time. If I had to pick one, he'd probably be number two. Number one. So unfortunate for him. For Jones to come out as he just has had a great season. I mean, this is a career reviving year for him. So praying that he gets the recovery he needs and that he can have his job back in August of next year. Do you have anything you'd like to add about the Grant Paul in the league?
I do not. It is exciting to see people who are almost my age who are playing football.
And, Jameis Winston had his analyst career starting off as he was for the Giants bye week.
That had to be entertaining.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was.
He's hilarious.
Duval! That was one. He had a Heisman handshake. It was pretty great.
Nice.
And then despite the Eagles losing on Monday Night Football, they are third in the NFC and first in the NFL. Or, no, third in the NFC and first in the NFC East. Because of the Cowboys sucking, which you love to see. But that's about all we have for the NFL. Going on to the NBA, LeBron James's 10-point streak, which started in January of 2007.
Yikes.
You were like borderline a newlywed at that point. Like,
that's right.
That was a long... I wasn't even alive yet, which is absurd. And then ended on December 1st, where he passed the ball to Roy Hachimura to tie the game or to take win the game instead of taking the shot himself, which would have gotten his 10-point streak. The OKC Thunder are on a historic pace. They are now 25-2, I believe, is their record. Let me double check that. They are 24-2. They lost to the Spurs by 2 last night as Chet missed two field, missed two free throws to tie that game up, which is absolutely crazy that we're missing free throws in the NBA. But regardless, they were on a historic pace to get like 77 wins or something crazy like that if they keep this up.
Wow.
To put it in perspective, the Golden State Warriors 73-9 team had the same starting record of 24-1, just like the Thunder did right before their loss to San Diego. Nope. I am completely blanking. Spurs. San Antonio. That's it. But yeah, they lost the NBA Cup, which is very unfortunate. But yeah, and then let's talk. Do you have anything else to like to say about the NBA?
I'm good.
Yep. So college football, conference champ week. Bama gets murdered. This game was crazy. Me and you had more rushing yards than Alabama did against the Georgia Bulldogs. We worked very hard for that accomplishment. And then the Duke Blue Devils winning the ACC, which put both the JMU Dukes in and the, they weren't going to be in, but then Tulane, who was already expected to be in, they also got in. So huge congratulations to those guys as well. Major accomplishment for them, but UVA would have taken one of those spots. Vandy does not get in, even though they have a much better resume than JMU and Tulane and Bama, in my opinion. Nah, maybe not Bama, but they had a very good resume as they... Their only loss was Bama, which is the really only argument of Bama over them. But yeah, so IU... Indiana beats OSU, who missed a game-losing 27-yard field goal to try to tie it.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely wild. And then the Heisman was announced last night, Fernando Mendoza. I love Fernando Mendoza, not as much as I love Diego Pavia. I think Diego Pavia deserved this. Being in the SEC, being in that conference where he played Alabama, where he played Texas, where he played Tennessee, and he won two of those games. Mendoza played the number one team in the nation at the time and won, but it was a defensive battle. It wasn't like he put up 45 points on the best defense in the nation. No, he put up 13, 14, 20, like somewhere in that range where it's like, that's just not, I don't know. I believe Diego Pavia finished in second, but I would have much rather seen Diego Pavia get that award. And then there were 10 teams that declined bowl game invites. What do you have to say about that?
It's about time somebody declined these things because nobody wants to watch them.
Yeah.
If you're not in the there, it's a lose-lose. There, nobody wins. Even the sponsors of these bowls don't win. And so, like it feels very performative that we have spent the last, I don't know, 5-6 years now. Nobody watches the games. Half the teams don't go to the games. The best case scenario is that you get some Duke's mayo dumped on your head.
Or you get to watch your mascot eat a Pop-Tart.
Right. It's comedy. And I think the lack of interest in these games, I'm going to steal from the Carolina Insider podcast. Yeah. They've been saying for years, let's play these games at the beginning of the next season.
Yes.
So, then you're going to see, like, I would actually go and watch North Carolina if they had been bowl eligible and made a bowl. I would be excited to watch the first game of the year that they got rewarded for last season's victories.
But then you're taking out, and I like that idea, but at the same time, you're getting rid of, because then those seniors
sure
who graduate don't get the award. It's just not much of an award.
It's not a reward right now. Now the reward is getting into the playoffs, and if you don't get into the playoffs, then we should be playing the bowl games at the beginning of next season. And I'm very glad that big names like Notre Dame are saying no thank you.
Declined the Pop-Tart Bowl.
I'm not going to your Pop-Tart Bowl because it's not a football game.
Yeah.
And charity. I wouldn't even be able to bring my whole team because half of them are declaring for the portal and leaving
the draft.
And so it's just, it's a no-win situation to play the bowl games in the ways they are currently played. And it definitely felt like a shift in the the whole ecosystem when a lot of these teams that have big brand value said to Pop-Tarts, no thank you, I'm not going to go.
Here's a list of those teams: Notre Dame, Iowa State, Kansas State, Florida State, Auburn, UCF, Baylor, Rutgers, Temple, and Kansas.
Yeah.
I have one more question for you, Dad, before we get to our Tar Heel in the Pros segment. What is your thoughts on Notre Dame not making the 12-team playoff?
I mean, I hadn't really paid much attention to anybody that wasn't North Carolina this year. But the brand Notre Dame deserves to be in. If they're in any kind of conversation nationally, then they should be in the tournament. But also, Notre Dame has very publicly not been in a conference. Were Notre Dame in the ACC, they would be in the, they would almost certainly be in the playoff because they would have played for the ACC championship because they're better than most of the teams in the ACC
this year.
And so this is a little bit on them for refusing to be in the ACC. But this also sets the stage for that, and just artistic that the ACC being such a mess is what caused the rest of this mess. Like if UVA or somebody, you know, UVA wins the game, then they're in because they're ACC. And, you know, the whole thing is comedic at this point,
yes.
But certainly Notre Dame would be more entertaining to watch than JMU. But here we are.
Yeah. That brings me to another point, but I think Miami deserved it over Notre Dame. There's no doubting that in my mind. But there was one thing that I wanted to find real quick that just made me laugh so much was reading it. I think it's a troll account of JMU. I don't know if you've seen these on like Instagram or TikTok or both, but they are hilarious. Yeah. A video of the Oregon Ducks running in slow motion and JMU Sports News, which seems like a real legit account. Oregon might be the slowest team we've ever seen. Then they talked about the massive talent gap between JMU and Oregon is overblown. We've been grinding tape and the Ducks are actually a lot better than people are saying. It would not be a surprise one bit if Oregon kept it close in this game. So, elite troll job by them. And then it's come to our attention that the Oregon Ducks never won the Boca Raton Bowl. The Ducks have never even qualified for that prestigious bowl game, which is often called the granddaddy of them all. JMU won it last year without its starting QB. If there are levels to this. Then
a lot of trolling.
Yeah, lots of trolling going on there, which you love to see out of the JMU Dukes sports news page. So, yeah, and also breaking news, the Chiefs will miss the playoffs for the first time since 2014 after a loss to the Chargers 16-13 and Mahomes left the game injured with 2 minutes left. So prayers for Pat Mahomes, but that is wild to hear. The Chiefs will not be in the playoffs.
Yes.
So I cannot wait to watch the GPS show with Tom Grassi and Brandon Perna. Brandon Perna being a diehard Broncos fan, to hear how he feels about that one. But so that is all we have for the college football slate. But now the Tar Heels and the Pros, it's back, ladies and gentlemen. Drake May still your leading MVP candidate. See if they won their game. They played the Bills in a very important game, and the Bills won it 35-31. So maybe not the leading MVP candidate for much longer. May had one interception in that game, so not what you want to see there at all. Javonte Williams has over 1,000 yards on the season, making himself one of the major parts of that Cowboys offense. Josh Downs has 3 touchdowns on the season, 393 on the yards and through the air, not anything to write home about, but he is being affected by the Phillip Rivers story to Indy. Now switching to basketball, RJ Davis still in the G League, averaging 21 points per game. League him. Harrison Ingram averaging 1.7 points per game in the NBA, but he has bounced between the NBA and the G League.
Caleb Love averaging 8 points per game off the bench for the Trailblazers, and then Coby White, again, my favorite Tar Heel of all time, averaging 22 points per game off the bench for the Bulls.
Nice.
So I'd love to see that. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
I think I'm good.
So that wraps it up here for the sports report. Thank you all for watching. We hope you enjoyed, and we will see you guys next week. Tar Heels back in action on Tuesday.
Later.
So see y'all next week. Go Tar Heels.